Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and thus in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. That revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective, truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain. And so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others. So now we'll continue. Our show is Spiritual Unity, Not Theological Uniformity. The Urantia Book, Paper 1, The Universal Father, Section 3, God is a Universal Spirit. Paragraph 7. In the inner experience of man, mind is joined to matter. Such material-linked minds cannot survive mortal death. The technique of survival is embraced in those adjustments of the human will and those transformations of the mortal mind, whereby such a God-conscious intellect gradually becomes spirit-taught and eventually spirit-led. This evolution of the human mind from matter association to spirit union results in the transmutation of the potentially spirit phases of the mortal mind into the Urantia soul realities of the immortal soul. Mortal mind subservient to matter is destined to become increasingly material and consequently to suffer eventual personality extinction. Mind yielded to spirit is destined to become increasingly spiritual and ultimately to achieve oneness with the surviving and guiding divine spirit, the Spirit of God, and in this way to attain survival and eternity of personality existence. Paper 56, Universal Unity, Introduction, Paragraph 1. God is unity. Deity is universally coordinated. The universe of universes is one vast integrated mechanism which is absolutely controlled by one infinite mind. The physical, intellectual, and spiritual domains of universal creation are divinely correlated. The perfect and imperfect are truly interrelated. And therefore may the finite, evolutionary creature, that's us humans, ascend to paradise in obedience to the Universal Father's mandate, be you perfect, even as I am perfect. What a loving invitation command. Be you perfect, even as I am perfect. Section 4, Personality Unification, Paragraph 1. The Universal Father is a divinely unified personality. Hence will all his ascended children who are carried to paradise by the rebound momentum of the thought adjusters who went forth from paradise to indwell material mortals in obedience to the Father's mandate, likewise be fully unified personalities before they reach Havona. Havona is the 1 billion very ultimate dash absolute high heavenly spheres that surround the nuclear eye of paradise. So before we're all spirit perfected enough to be eternally paradise residents, will go through 570 progressively higher soul reality heavens and our Jesus Christ Michael's creation, the local universe of Nebadon. And then Jesus will, after we graduate through those 570 soul reality progressively higher heavens,
How Jesus then will grant us first stage spirit reality, go up through the super universe. I believe that's another 570 higher first stage spirit heavens. And then we'll go into this 1 billion spheres of Havona. And that may take roughly, I'm guessing, about a trillion years till we become then spirit perfected enough to enter finally and eternally into a paradise with God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay, next paragraph 2. Personality inherently reaches out to unify all constituent realities. The infinite personality of the first source and center, the universal Father, unifies all seven constituent absolutes of infinity. And that would be God the universal Father, God the eternal Son, God the infinite Spirit, paradise, the universal absolute, the deity absolute, and the unqualified absolute. And those three absolutes are one, of course, on paradise, as well as God the Father, Son, and Spirit are one on paradise and the Trinity. So we talked about the seven constituent absolutes of infinity and the personality of mortal man, being an exclusive and direct bestowal of the universal Father, likewise possesses the potential of unifying the constituent factors of the mortal creature. Such unifying creativity of all creature personality is a birthmark of its high and exclusive source and is further evidential of its unbroken contact with the same source through the personality circuit. As God the Father, I am his personality circuit, by means of which the personality of the creature maintains direct and sustaining contact with the Father of all personality in paradise. I add, we each may realize this great ontological reality. Ontology is the study of being, and that reality is, I am a divinely beloved son of I am. And the final I am there is in all capitals, that's God the Father. So we thank you, God, our Father, infinite I am. We are in his personality present circuit at all times. Paragraph 3. Notwithstanding that God is manifest from the domains of the sevenfold up through supremacy and ultimacy to God the Absolute, the personality circuit, centering on paradise and in the person of God the Father, provides for the complete and perfect unification of all these diverse expressions of divine personality so far as concerns all creature personalities on all levels of intelligent existence and in all the realms of the perfect, perfected, and perfecting universes. Notice there's three levels here. There's eternally perfect paradise, eternally perfected Havona, and perfecting time-space universes. Paragraph 4. While God is to and in the universes all that we have portrayed, nevertheless to you and to all other God-knowing creatures, he is one, your Father and their Father. There's one God, no matter what your theory is. People say, well, my God is not the same as your God. There's only one real God that's the creator of every human being and every higher being. Reading on, to personality, God cannot be plural. God is Father to each of his creatures, and it is literally impossible for any child to have more than one Father. Paragraph 5. Philosophically, cosmically, and with reference to differential levels and locations of manifestation, you may, and perforce, must conceive of the functioning of plural deities and postulate the existence of plural trinities. But, in the worshipful experience of the personal contact of every worshiping personality throughout the master universe, God is one. And that unified and personal deity is our paradise parent, God the Father, the bestower, conservator, and father of all personalities from mortal man on the inhabited worlds to the eternal sun on the central hour of light. And I add, our unconditionally loving and lavishly merciful Creator Father God is no respecter of persons. He loves all beings equally. He loves you and me and all humans the same as he loves his paradise coordinate deities, the eternal sun and the infinite spirit. Jesus Christ stated when he was incarnate here, the infinite worth of each finite human being. What love of God the Father that he should see us lowly humans, as being just as important and eternally valuable as his two co-equal partners in the Paradise Trinity. What a glorious destiny we all have. It's amazing. Okay, paper 102, The Foundations of Religious Faith, Section 2, Religion and Reality. Paragraph 5. Even the discoveries of science are not truly real in the consciousness of human experience until they are unraveled and correlated, until their relevant facts actually become meaning through encirclement in the thought streams of mind. Mortal man views even his physical environment from the mind level, from the perspective of its psychological registry. It is not, therefore, strange that man should place a highly unified interpretation upon the universe and then seek to identify this energy unity of his science with the spirit unity of his religious experience. Mind is unity. Mortal consciousness lives on the mind level and perceives the universal realities through the eyes of the mind endowment. The mind perspective will not yield the existential unity of the source of reality, the first source and center. And he is, of course, God the Father, infinite I am. But it can, and sometime will, portray to man the experiential synthesis of energy, mind, and spirit in and as the Supreme Being. And the Supreme Being is a phase of the Trinity here out in time and space, with and as us, out here in these universes. Reading on, but mind can never succeed in this unification of the diversity of reality unless such mind is firmly aware of material things, science, intellectual meanings, philosophy, and spiritual values. Only in the harmony of the triunity of functional reality is there unity, and only in unity is there the personality satisfaction of the realization of cosmic constancy and consistency. Paper 103, The Reality of Religious Experience, Section 1, Philosophy of Religion. I note here, this paragraph will be about God's spirit within each moral human being is the source of our spiritual unity. Okay, here we are, paragraph 1. The unity of religious experience among a social or racial group derives from the identical nature of the God fragment indwelling the individual. I add, that is the pure will of God guiding all normal humans, the pure spirit essence of God. Reading on, it is this divine in man that gives origin to his unselfish interest in the welfare of other men. Now, when they say man and men, that equally includes all males and females, because spiritually, all humans, males and females, are spiritually classified as sons of God. The daughters of God are the many types of angels. So when they say mankind, men, or he, that's always equally all human males and all human females, and all human children in many cases, too. Reading on, but since personality is unique, no two mortals being alike, it inevitably follows that no two human beings can similarly interpret the leadings and urges of this uniform spirit of divinity which lives within their minds. A group of mortals can experience spiritual unity, but they can never attain philosophic uniformity or theological uniformity. And this diversity of the interpretation of religious thought and experience is shown by the fact that 20th century theologians and philosophers have formulated upward of 500 different definitions of religion. In reality, every human being defines religion in the terms of his own experiential interpretation of the divine impulses emanating from the God Spirit that indwells him. And therefore, must such an interpretation be unique and wholly different from the religious philosophy of all other human beings. Section 5, The Origin of Ideals. This paragraph will cover spiritual and religious liberty. That's paragraph 12. When a member of a social religious group has complied with the requirements of such a group, he should be encouraged to enjoy religious liberty and the full expression of his own personal interpretation of the truths of religious belief and the facts of religious experience. The security of a religious group depends on spiritual unity, not on theological uniformity. A religious group should be able to enjoy the liberty of free thinking without having to become, quote, free thinkers, unquote. Now, that free thinkers, I add, would include atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, rationalists, and those and others, and they tend to reject authority and religious truths. Reading on, there is great hope for any church or a religious group that worships the living God, validates the brotherhood of man, that's of all humans, and dares to remove all creedal pressure from its members. Besides organized ecclesiastical churches, there are now forming millions worldwide of small home spiritual fellowship groups, the family, and they invite a few friends over. They're usually anywhere from 3 to 10, maybe 15 members. If they get bigger than about 12 or 15 members, they'll split off, form 2 or 3 different groups in 2 or more different homes. And that is coming on very strongly, especially in countries where there's dictators and tyrants forcing people to be atheists or follow one type of religion only, and they would persecute Christians. So they quietly study in their homes and pray and worship, fellowship, all that, just as if they were in church, but it's done quietly, and it can't be stopped. The good news is right now in Iran, there are millions of Iranians that are becoming Christians. That's God's will. Now we go to paper 141, beginning the public work, section 5, spiritual unity with spiritual liberty. Paragraph 1. One of the most eventful of all the evening conferences at Amethyst, that's to the north near Pella, was the session having to do with the discussion of spiritual unity. James Zebedee had asked, Master, asked of course to Jesus, Master, how shall we learn to see alike and thereby enjoy more harmony among ourselves? When Jesus heard this question, he was stirred within his spirit, so much so that he replied, James, James, when did I teach you that you should all see alike? I have come into the world to proclaim spiritual liberty to the end that mortals may be empowered to live individual lives of originality and freedom before God. I do not desire that social harmony and fraternal peace shall be purchased by the sacrifice of free personality and spiritual originality. What I require of you, my apostles, is spirit unity. And that applies to all groups on earth today, too. And Jesus goes on, and that you can experience in the joy of your united dedication to the wholehearted doing of the will of my Father in heaven. You do not have to see alike or feel alike or even think alike in order spiritually to be alike. Spiritual unity is derived from the consciousness that each of you is indwelt and increasingly dominated by the spirit gift of the Heavenly Father. Your apostolic harmony must grow out of the fact that the spirit hope of each of you is identical in origin, nature, and destiny. We all have the same pure spirit essence of God, the Father within us, the will of God, and we all have the same nature. We're all sons of God, male and female sons of God here. We all have the same destiny of being with God on paradise when we're spirit perfected enough to be there. And actually, our growth never ends. Once we're on paradise, we're still going to grow and be able to be on paradise and go out into the super universes much higher than the reality we have down here. When you're on paradise, you are above space and time. So you can be a paradise resident and be working out in other levels at the same time. No problem. That's hard for humans to comprehend. After a trillion years of spirit training and ascension, that will be easy to adjust to. See, God never will take us from one level and snap us up to a high level that would confuse us. It's a nice, slow, gradual, and free will growth. We have to free will choose every point of the way. Oh, this is wonderful. So beautiful. Paragraph 2. In this way, you may experience a perfected unity of spirit purpose and spirit understanding growing out of the mutual consciousness of the identity of each of your indwelling paradise spirits. You may enjoy all of this profound spiritual unity in the very face of the utmost diversity of your individual attitudes of intellectual thinking, temperamental feeling, and social conduct. Your personalities may be refreshingly diverse and markedly different, while your spiritual natures and spirit fruits of divine worship and brotherly love may be so unified that all who behold your lives will of a surety take cognizance of this spirit identity and soul unity. They will recognize that you have been with me and have thereby learned, and acceptably, how to do the will of the Father in heaven. You can achieve the unity of the service of God even while you render such service in accordance with the technique of your own original endowments of mind, body, and soul. It states elsewhere in this rich book, Revelation, that any honest, legitimate career can be to serve God and to share in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You could be a tax cab driver. You could be a bartender. You could be a used car salesman. And even though we might look down upon those careers, some of the people doing that are probably doing more effective personal ministry than some high-minded pastors and teachers and popes and priests in the churches. There's exceptions, of course, but it's amazing what people do quietly without, you know, talking in a spiritual manner. They are doing spiritual work. Okay, paragraph 3. Your spirit unity implies two things, which always will be found to harmonize in the lives of individual believers. First, you are possessed with a common motive for life's service. You all desire, above everything, to do the will of the Father in heaven. Second, you all have a common goal of existence. You all propose to find the Father in heaven, thereby proving to the universe that you have become like Him. Wow, is that profound? Wow. You propose to find the Father in heaven, thereby proving to the universe that you have become like Him. We are called to become ever more and more godlike, ever more and more like Jesus. The best spiritual teaching is to learn the life and teachings of Jesus Christ and try to ask, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? You work on that, and you're becoming more godlike. Not very well in this first short 80-year life, but at least we're starting. We're trying. Now we go to paper 194. There's only 196 papers in this revelation, so we're almost to the end. Paper 194, Bestowal of the Spirit of Truth, Section 3. What happened at Pentecost? Pentecost happened May 18th, AD 30. And here, this paragraph, Jesus spiritually unifies us. Paragraph 17. Pentecost, that's when our sovereign universe creator, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Michael, is here with us as He, the Spirit of Truth, known also as the Father-Son Union Spirit of Truth, because God the Father is always transmitting and beaming His personality presence into the personality presence of Jesus Christ running this local universe. When you see Jesus Christ, you see God the Father. They are one in spirit. So the Spirit of Truth is actually the Father-Son Union Spirit of Truth. And you can read some about that in the Bible in John chapter 16 and 17. Okay, so Pentecost, starting again in this paragraph, Pentecost was the call to spiritual unity among gospel believers and among all believers and the sincere Christians and sincere truth seekers here worldwide today too. When the Spirit descended on the disciples at Jerusalem, the same thing happened in Philadelphia, Alexandria, and at all other places where true believers dwell. That's not only worldwide, but also universe-wide. Jesus is our universe creator Father. It was literally true that, quote, there was but one heart and soul among the multitude of the believers, unquote. Now this is powerful. The religion of Jesus is the most powerful unifying influence the world has ever known. That is so true. Amen. Paper 195 after Pentecost, section 10, the future. And I add here, there is still a very serious division now in Christianity. Only the living Jesus here in spirit can possibly unify all Christians. Now, why do I say possibly? Jesus has the power to do it, but He gives us free will. And some Christians don't want to try to harmonize and spiritually unify with Christians of another denomination that doesn't think intellectually or creedally the way they do. I'm 80 years old, and when I was younger, I saw great fights between the major Christian denominations. They all said they had the truth and all the other ones were false. And that's so far from spiritual unity. And it's arrogance and spiritual misunderstanding to a great degree. It's slowly getting better. Now, some Christians are starting to realize that maybe God is so loving, Jesus is so loving, that they want to seek and save everybody, even not the non-Christians. Maybe the non-Christians will go in heaven the same way the Christians do. Guess what? That's totally true, because that's God's nature. Jesus says, I am come to seek and save all the lost. He didn't say, I'm coming to seek and save the Christian lost. I am come on earth, He is here with us, to seek and save all the lost. or all the confused, all the broken down. Whatever the problem is, whether it's mental or psychological or spiritual, whatever the problem is, Jesus is here full time trying to help us. All right, now this is paragraph 11 here, a very important paragraph. Christianity is seriously confronted with the doom embodied in one of its own slogans, quote, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," unquote. The non-Christian world will hardly capitulate or give in to a sect-divided Christendom. I add, over 40,000 different Christian denominations and sects are existent now, and they are increasing in numbers. Very important sentence next. The living Jesus is the only hope of a possible unification of Christianity. The true church, the Jesus Brotherhood, is invisible, spiritual, and is characterized by unity, not necessarily by uniformity. Uniformity is the earmark of the physical world of mechanistic nature. Spiritual unity is the fruit of faith union with the living Jesus. The visible church should refuse longer to handicap the progress of the invisible and spiritual brotherhood of the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's totally true. Jesus is totally here in spirit. And his spirit, the spirit of truth, is just like Jesus, but you don't see his limited physical body. He's now omnipresent throughout our local universe of Nevadon. But it's the same Jesus Christ. But instead of being able to talk to maybe 3,000 or 5,000, he had a powerful voice. He was a pretty large man when he was incarnate. He could maybe talk, yell at maybe 5,000 people. And now, silently, the voice of God within you, as Jesus and Spirit, they're all one, is communicating God's will to everybody. Trillions and trillions and trillions and quintillions of beings in this local universe of Nevada. And they're all getting this spiritual gift. Reading on, and this brotherhood, the brotherhood of Jesus, brotherhood of man, is destined to become a living organism in contrast to an institutionalized social organization, which would be the church. It may well utilize such social organizations, but it must not be supplanted by them. Okay, that concludes this mini study. Then next time, we'll continue worship in great detail. I believe it's part 9 will be next. Then after that, we'll do another short mini podcast on an important topic. God loves you. God is blessing you. And we pray that you will enjoy ever greater peace, security, and progress here and beyond. Farewell. ¶¶